You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Hour 3 of the Sports Hangover underway live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. We'll hear a little bit more from Foles, Malcolm Jenkins, and some other players on both sides of the football, including tight end Zach Ertz. But first, I'm like a dilly-dally. Got to get right to it. But we can't get right to it. I'm sorry, I can't hear you because you're not potted up.
I think we should get right to it. I think we need to get to Nick Foles, what he had to say.
No. It's Joey?
Friday. Oh, you've got garbage on your mind.
Nothing makes me smile more. Really, honestly.
You're an aggravating human being. You love aggravating
people.
No,
I love how you enjoy this so much. Like, I love bringing happiness to you.
Who are you talking to?
You.
Who's you?
132 Royal Street. It's the home of Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, New Orleans location, because on Tuesday we will be in the Biloxi location over in Boomtown Casino to help
grand
the
opening.
Grand opening over on Tuesday. So we'll be doing the show there from 12 to 3. So we'll be over on the Gulf Coast. Are you excited about the two locations?
We're excited. It's been in the works for a while, and finally get to see it open, and hopefully everything goes smoothly.
Will they have as many taps as here?
I think there's... If I remember right, there's going to be less. It's not going to be 54. I want to say it's, for some reason, I keep thinking 32.
Okay. But point is, this is why I brought it up. This is such a unique location that has this many beers on tap because they're not, you know, not that there's anything wrong with domestics. I'm not picking on them. People love their craft beer.
It's out of control.
You just
craft beer's out of control.
Go to many places that have 50 some odd taps of craft beer.
And every day I'm telling somebody, no, we can't put
that
product in.
Joey, they definitely have Abita. They have a handful of Abita.
11 Abitas, but one is root beer.
11 Abitas, including the root beer, which is solid. Brian, did you have the Abita root beer? I thought that's what it looked like there, the dark liquid. It wasn't, I didn't see any ice in there. Was that the Abita root beer?
It was.
I thought so.
It was delicious.
Yeah, it is. It's...
Mm. Everybody says the same thing. It's like every time they try it, like, it's the best root beer I've ever had.
It really is. Like, you know, I know there are other brands, the major guys. No.
You're not leaving any doubt today as to who you think is going to win on Sunday. You got the Saints. What, you got a little stocking cap going on there.
Yeah,
right?
little wool cap.
Little wool cap. You got the Saints jersey.
Yes.
Of?
Jeremy Shockey. Yes.
A little toughness.
Super Bowl winning, okay. Jeremy Shockey.
And then you got the Saints jacket.
I do.
Going on as well.
Yeah, I've been pretty much hooed at all week.
I'm just making sure because we have, you know, Jay Fly Eagles Fly Hargrave over here to my left who, you know, once again, let me play the appropriate music as I give his argument. Nick Foles, unstoppable. The tight ends.
Yes.
Breeze and the Saints have never faced a defense like this. He was dreading this matchup weeks ago. Saints offense can't score. I want to say you actually called.
I did.
That Friday that he seems to forget.
Yeah.
To try to talk some sense.
You just didn't hear what was said.
Do you remember that phone call you had?
Very much so, because I remember the Saints had never played a defense like that except for Baltimore and the Redskins and, you know.
Minnesota.
Yeah. So, yeah, they never played a defense like that.
Dallas.
Yeah, never saw an offense like
Carolina.
The Eagles offense except for maybe, you know, Atlanta and teams like that. So, no.
That is a lucid, intelligent, well thought out objection.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Your Honor.
Overruled.
No, see. No, I kind of am with Brian on this. 800.
Yeah, of course you are.
Pete,
anybody who agrees with you.
Let's talk to Pete real quick. What you got, Pete?
Hey, fellas. Listen, before I even get started, that'll be the root beer. It gives Bonks a run for the money. It sure does.
It is. That's pretty good.
That's good stuff. Listen, it's all about Drew Brees shredding that defensive secondary like he did last time. That secondary should have been shredded last week, but the Chicago quarterback missed out on several big plays. Anyway, what I really wanted to talk about is that the only way Philly can beat us, well, besides turnovers, because anybody bitch if that happens, But the only way they I see them beating us is the big play. That's the only thing Nick Foles really does well. He doesn't sustain a lot of drives. He misses on short passes. He had one or two last week to Sproles, and if he would have let him like Drew would have let him, Sproles would have got even more yardage. I really believe that we're going to have some kind of cover two or some kind of safety valve to give up, to not give up that big play. He's really talented with the big ball, and I really think that's the only way we can get beat. I mean, they don't have a running game, and, the tight end's really good, but we've done pretty good against tight ends this year. So if we stop the big ball, we win easily, and I think that's what Vegas is thinking also. Y'all talk about it, fellas. Y'all have a good weekend. Who dat?
Pete, great weekend. Thank you for the phone call. Who dat to yourself as well. Brian, take that phone call and maybe tell Jay maybe why there's some reasons that Saints fans should relax on Sunday. First off, do you expect a closer game than 48-7?
Yes, I expect it to be a closer game. But, I mean, you know, honestly, if Saints win 34-17, was it really that close? I mean, I just think it's still going to be blowout fashion. It just won't be as bad. Nick Foles will help them score a little bit more, but Nick Foles doesn't play defense.
So you're just saying just because of the Eagles' lack of defense?
I mean, they have guys that are hurt. You have guys who are biting on double moves as if, you know, it's mosquitoes outside in the summertime in New Orleans, man. So, I mean, we're talking about a guy who bit on a double move from Alshon Jeffries and the likes of, you know, Nelson Aguilar.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry, the guy in Chicago.
Yeah, but wouldn't they
Allen
have,
Robinson.
Wouldn't Allen Robinson, I'm
but
sorry,
wouldn't
that's
have
it.
They practice that this week?
Oh, yeah, practice
Make
it.
Adjustments.
You know what you can't practice for? Ted Ginn running by you. You can't practice for that because he doesn't play on the Eagles.
Yeah, but if he's not giving up the double move, he's going to give up the single move this week. And that's what you got to be. That's what you got to look at.
Somebody brought it up in a phone call, Traquan Smith. Look, we've seen him have a double-digit game.
Yes.
He's had a double-digit game in Traquan Smith. Larry, yeah, that's right. Larry brought it up earlier in hour one. Thank you, Jordan. He's capable of being – I think you just got to get him the ball early. Robert Meacham has brought this up, maybe an end around. Get him the ball in his hands to kind of get him going somewhere. I do think an ancillary character – I mean, it happens in the NBA playoffs, right? JaVale McGee's 3 minutes of action help. You always have to have somebody other than the normal cast of stars do a little something. And I could see something like him or Kirkwood, right? But Traquan Smith has that speed that can really help maybe open up that underneath. I'm going to go with Traquan as, and again, it could be three catches, but maybe one of those three catches is either a big first down or a play that he takes it to the house. But I think Traquan Smith would be my, do I call it X factor on offense?
Oh, maybe unsung hero.
Okay,
maybe.
Unsung hero?
Yeah.
Well, who's an X factor?
Wow. It's kind of hard to say, but I'm going to go with the guy that nobody pays attention to anymore. Ben Watson. Can you imagine if a guy like Ben Watson comes out there and does, cause let's think about it. Over the past couple of weeks, we've seen the Saints receivers come back and start to emerge a little bit, but the tight ends have been pretty quiet. So a guy like maybe Ben Watson, you know, playoff Josh Hill, you know, maybe one of these guys come out and they start to emerge a little bit because that's the missing piece. And I think that's the problem with the New Orleans Saints. Okay. If you want to say we're going to take out Kamara, we're going to take out Mike Thomas, we're going to take out Ted Ginn. Well, the Saints still have five more guys that are going to come into the lineup eventually that are going to beat you. How do you stop that? At what point do you just kind of, you know, I guess put your hands on your head and say, we can't stop these guys because we don't have the guys to stop them?
You start running and you're right. And David brought up Ben Watson also. And I think that's extremely valid because you want to use the safety to help with Michael Thomas. You want to use the safety to help with Alvin Kamara. Well, there's two safeties gone. So if Watson starts catching the ball, okay, we got to pull a safety off of one of these guys now that take what they're giving you. And if you get a guy like Watson that you can have some success with, it's game over early.
Yeah, no question. I mean, especially if he's controlling the scene because on the outside, you know, you're going to have Thomas and you're going to have Ginn. And, of course, if Ben Watson can take that safety and pull him up the middle of the seam, it also leaves Alvin Kamara sneaking right behind him. Sean Payton has done that a lot in his years with Jimmy Graham and having Darren Sproles come right behind Jimmy Graham on a route to where he'll send Jimmy on a nine just straight up the field so he can take guys double with him. And Darren Sproles comes on a little slant route right underneath it, and boom, here he goes. So I think that's something that we can look forward to as well. It's so many weapons with the Saints. And we're not even talking about the run game, guys. We're only talking about passing.
That's what I want to see moving first.
I think – I'd like to see that opening possession and drive or two feature Mark Ingram and Kamara in either run, pass, screen. Because we forget, last year's biggest improvement for number 22 was the screen game.
Indeed.
Mark Ingram was – now, again, you have to have an a healthy offensive line. Now, you know, can Teron Armstead's injury shows his pec.
Yeah.
Not his legs.
Right.
You know, he can run out and shove you. So if he does play, I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe kind of do that to kind of limit a lot of the interaction that he sort of has to do here as well. Greenway fan on Twitter says, my trick play prediction is Drew Brees acts like he's hurt, has to come out of the game. Stop right there.
Yeah, right.
No,
yes, just
stop
don't,
it.
Don't
people
do it.
Would you realize
Gus will have a heart attack.
There would be so much throw up in the stands.
Yeah.
Bridgewater and Hill both come into the game. Hill lines up at quarterback, toss sweep to Bridgewater, who throws to a fly pattern. Ted Ginn, touchdown Saints.
I like your creativity, but the annexation of Puerto Rico not happening this time around.
Oh my God.
No.
Gus would have a heart attack if Drew faced it.
I'd be right next to him. Yeah. Be right next to him. I will say this. I think the biggest difference between the Eagles last year and the Eagles this year is that last year we saw the Eagles do something nobody was able to do, in which they were able to rotate 8 defensive linemen. I don't think they can do that now. So if you're the Saints, that's why you run the ball. You get those big guys going forward, kind of putting their weight on them and pushing them around a little bit early. By the time the fourth quarter comes, it's goodnight, Irene.
So let me ask you this, because I know you think the Saints will have no trouble moving the ball on the Eagles.
I don't think so.
I agree with you. I the thought crossed my mind. Would you sit Teron Armstead? If everyone else is healthy, would you start the game without him, see how this offensive line right? You can always add him back in.
I could always take him out in the second half.
You could do that. Yeah. But my point is, if he doesn't have to play, then he's got to play a game in the championship, rest a week, play a Super Bowl.
Here's
that?
My problem. The Saints' offense has been drastically different since he's been out.
But they have played well with Bushrod and Ramczyk and Warford. If everybody's back, but Armstead, would you think about it?
Name me a big offensive game since Armstead's been hurt.
I can't remember when he went down.
I mean, I guess you can technically say Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
he
played Pittsburgh and left because of the injury.
Yeah. If he can play and he's healthy, he's got to go. Now, again, this was him this week, earlier this week, talking about his injury and talking about whether or not he can play and he can go. He was asked, can you put a percentage on your health?
Especially with this, it's been a tricky injury. Some things don't bother me at all. Some things bother me more. So it's hard to put a percentage on it. I feel pretty good, though. I'm doing a lot better.
All right, so he says he's feeling better. Does he think he can play?
That's what I'm working towards. That's the goal. That's been the goal. Trying to get to feeling as best as I possibly can and go out there and do my job. So if I can do that, if I feel like I can be functional and produce, I'll play for sure.
Brian, you're on social media a ton. I saw a lot of the beat reporters write that Armstead's been trying to put himself in situations and things at practice or what have you that will test that pectoral. So he's not going out there and trying to block a pad or, you know, not going to contact. It seems and sounds to me like he's telling Brian, come at me.
Yeah.
And then trying to stretch his arm out to see if he can handle it, to try to test it. Because I think that probably was an issue a couple weeks ago. We're like, man, this stinks. You know, I thought I was healthy one. So I think knowing that he's trying to test it out. I'm with you. I know what you're trying to say.
Because if you go against the Rams, that's a better defensive line.
Yeah, but you got to get to that Rams.
I agree with
that. That's my whole
thing. But you're trying to win 3 games, and you've got to.
But the third game doesn't matter if you don't get to the second game.
I understand that.
You know what I'm saying?
But does the third game matter if he goes down in the first game?
You worry about that in the third game. I've got to win this game first. But that's what you worry about.
So you don't think they can win without Armstead? Do you think they can win the game without him?
I want the best players that I have available on the field at all times when I can have it. He is by far your best offensive
Absolutely.
Lineman.
Absolutely, he's by far the best.
And there's a massive gap between him and Bushrod. And if I can have him there with Pete there and everybody else is healthy, again, to the screen game that we were talking about, Brian, Armstead's massive on that, right? To be able to maybe you guys are talking about double moves. You know what the double move requires? Protection.
Absolutely.
Time. So, again, if he can stand up and he can play, and again, I know it's just his pec. I know it's just, you know, that.
That's huge.
Now, maybe
an
I can call
lineman.
Some plays to maybe help him out a bit. You know, maybe I'll tell him, hey, man, unless he's in front of you, block, let him go, give him some protection at first. I don't know. I just think he can still help you to an extent. Now, I hear you. There's a risk. You know, that you lose them the rest of the playoffs. I get that. But I've got to get to next weekend. That's got to be my only concern.
I'm more afraid of the punch. And that's what I think is the thing for Teron Armstead. I'm more afraid of him trying to kind of maybe that first initial punch in which he tries to get a guy off balance. That kind of, that stretch, that motion. And then, of course, going against an impact of somebody coming right at you. I'm afraid that could be the thing that kind of re-injures him. If he can get past that, if that's not bothering him, because he did say in the clip that you played that there are some things that bother him, other things that don't. We know running is not going to bother him, but I wonder if it's extending his arm and actually getting that contact and that friction against that pec, if that's what's causing it.
You know, and here's the thing. I mean, there, as a play caller, you can call to that, right? I mean, if I know, then that's the case. Then if I'm going to maybe try that double move, and again, maybe knowing this, I kind of look at it and see if there's a hint. You know, if the running back stays back for some protection, maybe that's where your double move is coming in.
I think you chip with
him. Well, that's what I'm saying. You can do some things to help him. If I know it's going to be a quick screen or a slant or something like that, I don't need to do that. Teron, hold up for a second. You know, I mean.
To your point, maybe we see Sean kind of change Drew's launch point. Maybe he rolls more to the right to get it kind of away from Armstead's side and, you know, kind of, you know, I guess be more closer to Ramczyk than anything else.
Yeah. Look, this is why I've said I want to see him run.
A lot of the big runs have come on that right side, by the way.
Indeed.
This is why I want to see him run the
touchdown
football.
Touchdown against the Eagles by Ingram, right?
Yeah,
side.
Yeah, no question.
If you're able to run the football, then that sets up the play action pass.
Yeah.
If you're play action passing, it's making it a lot easier on your offensive line.
I think the Eagles, because of everything that happened last time, I think the smartest game plan Sean Payton can go with is let's use their aggression against them. They're not going to sit back and say we're going to play zone and let Drew Brees kind of pick us apart. And last game, the Eagles blitzed more than any team had blitzed the Saints than any team they had blitzed all season. So now you're saying, well, we know we can't sit back and let him pick us apart. And if we get ultra aggressive, then we better hit home. I think the Saints need to use the Eagles' aggression against them. Let them come in, maybe do a draw play or two, the screen game that you were talking about, wheel routes. Use that aggression against them, because once Kamara or Ingram get past the first line of the defense, good luck tackling him.
Well, we know there's a couple of handful of matchups already that are just going to fit, right? I mean,
correct.
Kamara
Michael Thomas on anybody.
Jenkins, yeah. Right, Twill Thomas. So knowing that, I think that's going to be. So what do you do if you're the Eagles? How would you defend the Saints knowing that you have that trouble in the back end right now? Yeah. You got smoke last time being aggressive. Do you mix your coverages? Do you mix your defenses? Do you mix your zones? What are you allowing? I'm almost thinking I'm allowing them the 20 through the 20, and then once they get in there, let's try to hold them to three.
I think that's the best game plan they can go with. I think it's bend, don't break all the way, because
right.
We know eventually what Drew Brees and the Saints want to do is they want to get downfield. So they want those big chunk plays. They want Ted Ginn for 60. They want, you know, Tre'Quan Smith for 40. They want Keith Kirkwood on the 30-yard catch.
Right.
What you want to do is you want to make sure they don't get those plays. So make Drew Brees dink and duck his way all the way down the field. Maybe you play a couple of shells. Maybe you try to double up on Michael Thomas to say, okay, well, we'll try to beat you left-handed. If you can beat us with Tre'Quan Smith and those guys again,
exactly
good
right.
luck.
Yeah, and if you want to run
the ball. Yeah.
Test the commitment of Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Are you going to use your running backs to try to win this? Because that's what I would do. I'm just going to say, if I'm already coming in this game that I'm going to get smoked in the back end, no problem. Two guys on Thomas the entire time. And you want to beat us, you're going to have to do with the running backs. That's what I would just do.
Best defense in this game may not be the defense at all.
No, it's the offense.
Maybe it's offense. So maybe what you do is maybe you play to Sean Payton's ego. Maybe you goat him into a who can do the better trick play. And if you can get him in one of those type of games to where you're kind of baiting on Sean's
which
ego.
Which is the question that I was talking about with Jay Hargrave, who's the better coach. I think there's a positive to Sean Payton in his aggression
yes.
and his emotion. But we've seen some games where he emotionally gets caught up. And the play calling,
so maybe if you're Doug Peterson, you do a trick play with the first time you get the ball on offense, and now you tell Sean, okay, match that. And if Sean gets into that bravado, and maybe you take away,
and
of course, you take him out of his game plan.
I think the only shot they have is to keep their secondary back, play probably a dime the entire game, and gamble that Sean won't run the football, that his ego gets the best of
him. Here's the thing, though.
I think that's their only
shot. To the caller that's an Eagles fan as we go to break here, the numbers suggest their D-line is playing better.
Indeed.
The D-line is stopping the run.
Yeah, but they're also playing a bunch of teams who don't run.
I hear you, but I'm just telling you. Well, and to your point, the one team they lost to was the Dallas Cowboys.
Ran the ball.
Who can run the football on them. Sports Hangover continues next. Marlon Favorite wants to put the take next on ESPN New Orleans.
Pitchpoint Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out out on Facebook.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Okay, time out. You're going to let your budget be the boss of you? Take control with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay for car insurance, and we'll help you find options that fit your budget. Here's some music to get you pumped. Da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-dang-dang. I hear your budget laughing at you. Oh, wait, that's just those kids laughing at me. Ignore them!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you been suffering with neck or low back pain? Disc of Louisiana offers the most precise techniques and least invasive surgical procedures to give you your life back. Wake up with only a Band-Aid after surgery. Disc of Louisiana, now accepting appointments in Houma, Metairie, and around the North Shore. Visit GoSpine.com. That's GeauxSpine.com to make an appointment today.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal Cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online, oldsaint.com.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
800-998-1003, and of course, Marlon Favorite on Fridays likes to chime into the conversation to give his take on things. At Big Fave 504 is the way to follow him over on Twitter. And of course, Inside the Trenches is the podcast. You like the trenches here. I think a lot, Marlon, is being made of Foles and Breeze and all that. It does come to the line, right? How healthy can the Saints' offensive line be? And that Eagles' D-line has been playing better. How do you see this matchup? Is it really there?
It is there. I do think that this game is much more competitive than the last time these two teams met. What I see more than anything else, Gus, is which defensive line is going to show up and perform the best. The Saints, as we've seen, Cam, Pro Bowl season. Sheldon Rankins got robbed out of the Pro Bowl. I thought he had a Pro Bowl season for interior linemen. The young rookie Davenport, Okafor, even Tyler Davis, in my opinion, a guy I give a hard time to commentate, has stepped up in a run game lately. But if you flip to the other team on the same side of the ball on the D-line, Brandon Graham, an excellent pass rusher. You also have Michael Bennett. He's an excellent rusher as well. It's a combination of good guys.
Marlon, do you think the Eagles will be able to, that defensive line that you're talking about, do you think they can stand up to a Mark Ingram like we saw last year when Sean committed to the running game, stuck with it? Do you think that Eagle defensive line can stand up to that Saints running game?
I think so. I think they have the tools. I think they have the tools to do it. I mean, if you look at how well they performed last week, against the Bears, they made it happen, man. They really did. So I'm really interested in seeing how this plays out.
So, Marlon, the way this game, we're thinking the Saints probably come out and run the football. But when you saw that game against the Bears, that secondary was very susceptible. You know Doug Peterson's going to be in there trying to correct the things that went wrong last week. But how much can you correct in 1 week? In 6 days, you can't get everything fixed. What would you do if you were Sean Payton in with your game plan? How do you game plan against this Eagle defense?
Well, I think the first thing you do is you eliminate their strengths, right? And this Eagles front seven is very strong. So we know the familiarity with Malcolm Jenkins, knowing the Saints' offense. You know, this is basically the same crew. So you want to make sure that you keep Malcolm off balance. So the way you attack that offensively is you distribute the ball around, you know, get the ball to Kirkland. Get the ball to Tre'Quan Smith.
They're going to double Michael. They're going to double block. They're going to try to take Michael Thomas out of the game. So you're going to have the other players rise to the occasion for sure.
Marlon, if you were going to, I guess, come up with a game plan, if you will, what would be your game plan for the Saints to start off? Do you think because the Eagles have such a weak secondary that the Saints should come out throwing a ball and maybe testing that Eagles secondary early? Or do you think it's more of a chess match type of thing as Sean Payton comes out, maybe runs the ball a little bit, and maybe kind of gauge what the Eagles and what are going to do and how they're going to react to it? But what would be your game plan? How would you start off the game?
Man, I know I heard Jay in there, and I heard Gus, but this sounds like Brian from Nola East, baby. Tell somebody.
You already know.
Man, to answer your question, what I would do, okay, you say the Bears, and you saw the Saints. I mean, take it back. I think the biggest thing for the Saints to do to be successful against the Eagles, where the Bears lack that, is playing all four quarters, right? I think the Bears walks into there as a big bad bear that can do it. So I think it's going to be a level of completion be more than anything else.
You know, one of the things that I think we've all been talking about here too is we all know the main character have to play well, right? We're talking about Breeze and Foles and things of that nature. I said maybe Tre'Quan Smith could be Brian called it an unsung hero. You can call it an X factor. Who do you think for the Saints can maybe be that X factor or unsung hero?
If I had to pick a unsung hero, X factor for the Saints, man, you want me to go offensive side of the ball or defensive side?
Give me one of each now.
Okay. I think that unsung hero on the offensive side of the ball is probably going to be Ryan Ramczyk. Why am I reasoning behind Ryan Ramczyk? If he can lock up these linemen, I think he'll do it. I'm talking Michael Bennett, right? I'm talking Brandon Graham. And give Drew Brees enough time to distribute the ball to the receiving corps, that would be a win. And then secondly, I would definitely go on a defensive side of the ball, Sheldon Rankins. I had to keep it inside the trenches. If Sheldon Rankins could get that middle pressure, you know, the middle pressure, I don't want to throw this out there that the Dallas Cowboys put on Drew Brees, but if he could get that middle pressure and lead Nick Foles to have to throw the ball on the exterior towards the Lattimore, also towards a P.J. Williams or, you know, who's ever on the backside of the corner, whether it's Eli Apple, I think the Eagles will have a long night. I think that the Eagles have a long night, for sure.
Marlon, let me put you back in the trenches. We're talking about Teron Armstead with the injury with the pec. You're a defensive lineman. How does that affect your game planning? If you're going up against a guy that's got an injury to his pec, what are you thinking about doing? I'm not talking about playing dirty and trying to injure him. I'm just talking about what do you think could be an advantage for you as a defensive lineman going up against a guy with an injury to his pec?
I mean, that shoulder, okay, so when you talk about that shoulder muscle, I think all my moves would be off of that shoulder. So it would be like a bull snatch on that shoulder where you put all the pressure and then just pull through for with a rip or a scoop on the fist. I think I would definitely try to close that arm. You know, you want to expose their weaknesses because if you try to rush him at his strength, and make him move his feet. Teron Armstead, I mean, you're talking about number one, number two tackles in the league, him and Ramczyk. So if you play him to his strength, and not all he has to do is mirror block you and play. But if you're being physical to that area, and they're going to have it cupped up, right? They're going to have a padding over it and everything. I think you'll if you could get him to kind of expose that injury. That's what I would do. You know, it's all the war for sure.
Marlon, I want to know, man, from your perspective, I guess when this is all said and done, what team would you rather see come into New Orleans? Would it be the Dallas Cowboys or would it be the Los Angeles Rams? Now, I know you're a Cowboy fan.
You know what that answer is.
I know you're a Cowboy fan, but are you really sure you want to see the Dallas Cowboys come into New Orleans next week?
I do.
Knowing what happened at first game.
I would. It is hard. It is extremely hard to beat a team, and I said this with the Seattle and Dallas game. It is hard to beat a team two times in a row in 1 year. Not in a row, but two times in the same season. That is hard, especially the circumstance. That game was won in Jerry's world. You're coming to the dome, a hype dome for all the marbles. I was on that sideline in not uniform, right? I was in my little sweats, right? For that Vikings NFC Championship game, that Superdome was louder than Tiger Stadium. That sound had nowhere to travel. That made it extremely hard, Brian, on those guys. So I really think it all boils down to Dallas. If I want to see the Saints in Atlanta, through Dallas, you beat the Rams. You know Aaron Donald is waiting to come. He is salivating by the mouth to pay the Saints back, right? The Saints ended their winning streak. So I wouldn't want to see L.A. right now. But Dallas, you might have yourself a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there it is. All right. Marlon, I'll ask you about the Cowboys as we let you on out of here at the bottom of the hour. How you like the Cowboys' chances at the Rams?
I like it. Now, I will say this. I do think Dallas goes out there and beat them. Gus, we've talked about this before. I don't really feel like L.A. is a home field advantage. I think that LeBron James and the L.A. Chargers, and they're more focused on that right now than the Rams. So you have pretty much a mutual site, so that won't play a role. I think that Dakota Prescott is having a better year than Jared Goff. I'll take a healthy Ezekiel Elliott over a just getting cleared off of the field, Todd Gurley. So, I mean, it's a number of ways to look at this. I think Dallas wins this weekend. I'm going to go 30-22.
Wow.
Wow, 30-22. Marlon Favorite should see the amount of Eagles jerseys all around here. You can agree.
They bring
you don't
it.
Like to see it either, being a Cowboys guy. So there you go. Marlon, enjoy the weekend, man. As always, we appreciate you chiming in. At Big Faith 504, the podcast, Inside the Trenches. Go check it out. Thank you, bud.
Man, thank y'all for having me. Y'all
take care. Thanks, Marlon.
Somebody. Talk to me now.
There it is. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll hear from Zach Ertz. We'll hear from Malcolm Jenkins as well and Sean Payton. He just had his Friday presser in which he was asked about the theory. The Saints ran up the score against the Eagles in the first meeting. How he answered that, you can probably guess. But I'll let you hear it when we come back with Sports Hangover next.
Early morning yesterday, I was up before the dawn.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal Cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online. OldSaint.com.
You Bet Your Boots footwear store has been in business since 1979. Their bestsellers are the Irish Setter, Two Harbors, and Marshall series. You Bet Your Boots also carries Red Wing, Irish Setter, Forks, and Dan Post. Do you have foot, knee, or back pain? Try their corrective insoles and footwear by Spenco, focusing mainly on the working man. They can also accommodate a casual fit in their Dan Post line. So shop until you drop at Bet Your Boots on Bayou Gardens Boulevard for discounts between 15 and 20%.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
How you doing there? Beautiful car, isn't she?
Yeah, what's the price?
Yeah, 93 late nights at the office. Well, plus tax, of course.
93 late nights? Oh, my budget's more like 78.
Oh, let me talk to the boss, see what I could do.
While other insurance companies just see a car, we see something you've worked really hard for. So why not give it the protection it deserves?
Well, now, he's never done this before, but he says I could do 90 late nights and some free air fresheners.
Deal.
State Farm. Call an agent today.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Coach, in the last game, you guys didn't let off the gas pedal. And
No, that's not true. Listen, if you pay attention to the film and you watch the film, it was one of those games where you're playing a real good offense, and late in the game we scored a touchdown, but we were 30-something at that point. But, man, we played well. So go ahead.
No, I say back in Philly throughout this week, they've kind of been using that as motivation. Do you realize that they're going to do that? And
it's a divisional playoff game. So my question would be, we're all playing hard in these divisional playoff games, right? You going to play harder? All right. Next good question.
That's his mom that he said that to just now, isn't it? Wasn't that Diana Russini that was asking that question?
Next good question. Woo! But it's to the point, though, and I get it. You know, he said, because it's a silly notion that getting the score run up on you has given you a little extra motivation. I guess what he's also saying, too, is if that's what it takes for the Eagles to get pumped up, I'll see you on Sunday. Because he's going to smoke
them. I'm just going to run the score up. Since you accused me of it, now I'm going
to
do it.
I think there's no doubt if there's a chance to run it up, he will now.
Yeah, no question.
Does anybody remember the Houston Oilers being in Buffalo? No.
Oh, I thought that's where you were going.
Does anybody remember the Houston Oilers being in Buffalo?
Yes.
Up 35-3, Warren Moon, and the Oilers up 35-3 in the playoffs. Buffalo's down to their backup quarterback in Frank Reich, and they win the game 38-35. So don't tell me you had enough points to win the game when a team with their backup quarterback could come back from 32 points down and win a playoff game.
We don't even have to go that far back, Jay. We can go back just a few years when Atlanta, blows the lead themselves. I mean, it's so many times in which, teams want to, I guess, use something as motivation. This isn't one of those things, because I heard Seth Joyner, when you guys played the clip yesterday, say that Sean Payton and the Saints ran a score up with 1 minute left in the fourth quarter. And then you do a little investigation and you find out it was actually 13 minutes, 17 seconds in the fourth quarter when the Saints scored that touchdown to put the score at 45.
So they didn't score.
They didn't score at all again until Lutz kicks the field goal. So it's such an over-exaggeration.
Bobby Bowden said it best when he was coach of Florida State. It's not my job to stop my offense.
Exactly. I used to love Steve Spurrier for that exact same thing. Yeah. Steve Spurrier, he didn't care who you were. It could be his mom coaching on the other sideline. He was throwing up 50.
We're going.
Malcolm Jenkins on if the last game will motivate him more.
Motivation, I mean, we got everything. Regardless if we played them earlier this season or if it was a tight game, blowout. We're in the playoffs at this point, so we don't need much more than that to get us, excited enough for the game against the number one seed, and all that they bring in their place going on the road. We got plenty.
Here's the other thing. You know what motivates that guy? That the team they're facing on Sunday said, thanks, but
enough.
No thanks.
Yeah, you're not good enough.
He's already motivated every time he plays them. And let's not – look, players are going to say this, and they're trying to keep it out of it. You know when the locker room it motivates them. You know it does, okay? Robert Meacham yesterday on the show said, that play was personal between him and Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah.
So it's happening, but I like that, publicly they didn't get into it. Kamara didn't take the bait. And you heard Sean try to get next good question, shutting down any further questions about it as well. And Malcolm did the right thing there. He's like, we're already motivated.
Yeah.
It's the playoffs. They're motivated. They're absolutely all. Doug Peterson, that even undressed from the Bears game. And he goes, I don't have to tell you where we're going next week. He absolutely thinks it's a motivational factor, and that's his job, to get them to work a little harder, to get them to look past any bumps and bruises, to let, you know, to make them get ready for that game. So I think if anything, you look at this game, and it comes down to the match. Robert said it yesterday, Meacham. First play, you get hit in the mouth, it's game. It's football, all of a sudden at that point. The extra motivation, the things that go in, the crowd noise. Look, they go on a drive, there goes the crowd noise, right?
Yeah.
Score touch. So it's about who's more relaxed and who just does their jobs and do it. Are you going to get a situation where somebody tries to do a little bit too more? You know, does a turnover kind of change those things? I think that's what eventually this comes down to, don't you?
Yeah, look, the turnovers is going to be crucial. But, you know, to me, it's every game is the same. Who wins third down? Who can get off the field on third down? Who can extend drives on third down with their offense? The offensive line, the defensive line, who wins the trenches? If you win those and you don't turn the football over, there's a good chance you're moving on.
Here's Malcolm Jenkins talk about the importance of shutting down the Saints' run, a key that all three of us believe will be a key.
Yeah, I mean, I think they do a good job. Is like you said, as much as Drew, you know, and Sean, you know, get the headlines about, you know, what the pass is and the scheme and all that stuff, they do a good job of staying balanced. You know, with Kamara and Ingram, two different styles of running, one downhill, they're getting a bunch of different packages. So they have a real diverse run game. They can get to the edge. They can, you know, go up the middle, all those things. Just run, dive solid right at you, try to push you off the ball. And then they add on the play action, the spread out passing game, and then they look for big plays with big matchups. So they do a good job of really keeping you on toes.
You know, Zach Ertz was then asked that question. Look, and again, this is why maybe sometimes, Brian, people dislike the media. You know, you dirty media people that go out there and ask those dreaded questions like this. Hey, Zach. Does the last Saints game anger you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when you lose 48-7, it's I don't think you're ever going to get that taste out of your mouth. Horrible, horrible feeling, embarrassing, humbling, all the words that you could possibly think of kind of fell after that game were true. And that's something you don't forget, for sure.
That's right. Don't forget it. Can it be motivation?
I have a lot of motivation in this game. It's the NFC playoffs. It's the second round of the playoffs going in. Down to New Orleans, and not going to be an easy game. I got to be playing at a high level for us to be successful as a football team. A lot of people count on me to do that, and that's all the motivation I need to go out there and play to the best of my abilities. That's all the motivation I need to have a really good week of practice, have a really good week of preparation. I don't really focus on what the other team's doing, but at the same time, it's not lost on all of us exactly what happened in New Orleans 7 weeks ago.
All right, Corey, sorry, man, didn't see you were being on hold there. What's up, Corey? How are you?
Yeah, how y'all doing? Friday to y'all. Y'all talking about unsung hero. I got one on both sides of the ball that I want to go with. P.J. Williams, I mean, him in the Golden Tate matchup, that's going to be a big matchup. Because, I mean, if Lattimore can handle Alshon Jefferson, if Apple can handle, I forgot the other receiver is, but I mean, it's going to come down to P.J. Williams. I hate to put a lot of pressure on, you know, on the offensive end. I want to say Taysom Hill. He got to have a spark. He got to have his impact on this game some way, somehow, whether it's been in the read pass option or whether it's been on special team. I just think that guy, he got to set the tone. And it's crazy to see that Taysom Hill. I mean, he's a spark plug. He's a spark plug, and I'm looking forward to see how he's going to respond to his actually first significant real playoff game, right?
Right. No, I'm with you, and I think at the end of the day, Corey, it's all going to come down to matchups. It's going to come down to different things. Brian, what you got to say?
I was going to say, man, you know, to Corey's point, I think Taysom Hill could actually make a huge play on special teams. Can you imagine him running back a kickoff and kind of just maybe setting the dome on fire? Just, you know, I agree with you, man. I think if Taysom Hill has another big play, and guys like him tend to do that, they tend to kind of step up in these big moments and make some type of play happen. I think if that happens, man, the Saints are going to win this one going away. It's going to be easy.
Yeah, and it's just a buzz around the city right now. I mean, just the city going nuts. And I mean, what better way to be in New Orleans? Sunday can't come here fast enough. I can't wait till the game get in. I mean, I'm looking forward to a big winning. Like I said, it doesn't matter. I heard Marlon saying it's hard to beat a team twice. He must have forgot last year we beat Carolina three times. So, I mean, talking about three times. That's a lot to do. But, I mean, I'm looking forward to y'all pretty much have a good one. Don't me who that and go Saints.
Awesome. There Thank you is. So much, Corey. Appreciate it. As we go into break, Zach Ertz getting a second shot at the Saints. No, the questions still keep coming.
For sure. That was the worst loss of my career, more than just the season. Obviously, extremely thankful for this opportunity to be in the playoffs. Probably shouldn't be in the playoffs, but we have an opportunity to kind of right the ship again. I don't think there's many times in life you get a second chance, and so we're definitely looking forward to it.
There you go.
You know what? I'm so sick of hearing Philly try to be, oh, my God, woe is us.
Yeah.
We're the under.
Dirty Saints.
Hey, they're looking Dirty for an Saints. Edge.
We're
they're
motivated.
Trying to get an edge,
hey,
man.
We're
Dirty
motivated.
Saints.
I guess the Saints are motivated to win this game.
Dirty
huh?
Saints. Just, you know, disrespectful Saints.
Just ran a score up on us.
27-17 is what I'm going
to. You're wrong. Next.
What, then that surprises you that he's wrong?
No.
Always right.
It doesn't matter. He's going to lie and say he had it right anyway.
That
right.
is true. Join the intern, Brian and Elise, Jay Hardgrave. Oh, getting closer to the game here. Final segment of the Sports Hangover coming up next. To wrap things up, don't go anywhere on ESPN New Orleans. Listen up, folks. It's tax time at Homa's Clayton Homes on Highway 311 in Homa. Keep your tax refund and trade in your old trailer home for something new. Homa's Clayton Homes, call 985-872-2850 if that old trailer has got to go. Remember, keep your tax refund in your pocket. And remember Homa's Clayton Homes. It's located right off of Highway 311 in Homa. And be sure to visit them on Facebook.
This Black and Gold Report is sponsored by Vinny's in Metairie, with happy hour every day from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. with $5 select appetizers and $4 select cocktails. Vinny's in Metairie at Ridgelake and 18th Street.
Week 11, Saints 48, Eagles 7. Philly felt the Saints ran up the score and were disrespected. Malcolm Jenkins, if you remember, gave Peyton the bird after the final TD. Talk of revenge on the Philly side this week. Saints quarterback Drew Brees being asked about the extra motivation.
I assume they'll come in as motivated as ever, just like we're going to come in as motivated as ever. So I don't think anything that happened previously has any bearing on this game. Just two really good teams about to play in a playoff game.
This game could be about the offenses. Nick Foles is making plays for the Eagles, says Saints linebacker DeMario Davis.
They got some really explosive tight ends. You got to be locked in on your assignment. You got to use really good technique when playing against guys like that. They got some explosive running backs coming out the backfield, really good receivers. It's a tough matchup, and they got a quarterback that can get them the ball.
As for the Saints, Brees says, just do what you've done all season.
Everyone talks about, okay, well, now it's playoffs. And, well, is the preparation any different? You know, no. If we've been approaching it this way the whole time, then let's just go play ball. You know, it's another game. We always expect to play our best. We always expect to go out and execute to perfection.
Saints are an 8-point favorite. For more on the Saints, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Report has been brought to you by Vinny's in Metairie, with the best happy hour in town every day, 3 p.m. until 7 p.m., with $1 off all bottle and craft beers, plus $5 glasses of wine. Vinny's in Metairie at Ridgelake and 18th Street.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town, and we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
It's the final segment on the Sports Hangover, and it's time to make picks. But before we do that, I want to go back to what Corey said on that last phone call. He made a good point about P.J. Williams.
Yeah.
Philadelphia's got three receivers with Alshon Jeffries.
Yeah.
They got Golden Tate, and you got Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah.
Which means Eli Apple and Marshawn Lattimore can only cover two of the three.
Right.
That forces P.J. Williams in. You think Dennis Allen maybe comes with some exotic looks, like maybe three safeties?
You know what? I think it's maybe a better thing that P.J. Williams go instead and they use the nickel package instead. You don't want Kurt Coleman on the field that much, especially not trying to be out there. Even if he's a blitzer, then that means you're putting the pressure on him to kind of not only cover a guy like Golden Tate, who may be in the slot, but you also have to worry about him covering guys like Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. So I don't think you want him on the field for that.
That's my concern right there.
Yeah.
with those two tight ends and those three receivers, the three receivers aren't lights out receivers.
Right.
But they're good.
No doubt.
And your two tight ends may be the two that might be the best combo of tight end, pass catching tight ends in the NFL.
No question.
So that's a lot of guys to cover. That's why I think this game could be on the higher scoring end. I could see one team, the Saints in the 40s. I could see the Eagles maybe high 20s, maybe 30s.
Yeah, I think if it's anything, it's going to be 34-17. Maybe it's a 37-24 type of game. I think the Saints win double digits, but I mean, I don't think it's going to be a 48-7 ball game again. I do think the Eagles will score some points because of the matchup that they have. But, I mean, I guess the best thing the Saints can do is you get out to a big lead, then you already know what they have to do. They got to throw the ball to get back in the game, and that's when, you know, the Saints are at their best. This defense was built to play with the lead. So if they know Nick Foles has to come back and throw the ball the rest of the game, it could get very dangerous because, as you stated, Banjo had an interception, you know, in the last game.
You see, this is why I think this game is so hard to predict, because you could sit there and see this game being a shootout, both quarterbacks throwing for a lot of yards, a lot of points being put. I could also see this game where Mark Ingram comes out and he's running the ball for 100 yards in the first half, and the Eagles are running the ball, both teams trying to protect their defense. Then it tends to be maybe a little bit on the lower score. That's why I think, and nobody knows, nobody's inside these coaches' heads as to what the game plan is. That's why the start of this game is so important. The team that scores first, man, I think that's huge. I asked Gus this. I'm going to ask you this. Coin goes up in the air. The Eagles call it. They missed the call. Saints, you won the toss. You deferring or you taking the ball?
I defer.
You defer.
I defer. I put my defense on the field first because it's almost a way of stealing a possession. The Saints are great at that. You know, Sean Payton with the onside kick. Maybe, kind of forcing that first three and out, then you getting the ball and, you know, getting a quick score yourself. That's stealing a possession if you can make that happen. If the Eagles go three and out or maybe six and out that first drive, I think from that point on, they'll understand they're in trouble. I think you set a tone with your defense to say, you know what? If you guys think you're going to score on us because you got Nick Foles and it's St. Nick and that magic, you erase that magic immediately.
So Jordan shaking his head. He agrees with you. Gus and I both said take the ball, put Breeze on the field, and try to go up 7-0.
What happens if it's the opposite? What happens if you go out there with Breeze, maybe like the Dallas game, you go out there, the first three plays, you try to pass the ball, and all of a sudden now it's three and out. Now the Eagles take the ball, and they go down.
Because the Saints haven't scored on the first possession. Since before the Cowboys.
It's been a while since they scored on the first possession. But
I think defense first. That's just
this is why Vegas puts lines on the game, and this is why people bet, and this is why Vegas is so rich. All right, so it's prediction time.
Let's go.
Saints-Eagles. Jordan, who you got? What's the score? How's the game play out?
I'm going to say 28-21 Saints.
You think it's a touchdown? You think the Saints lead from the get-go, or Philly takes the lead and the Saints come from behind?
I think the Saints take the lead, the early lead first, then – before halftime, Eagles take over, and then towards the end of the game, Drew Brees just
pulls it out again.
The experience comes into play, and that's where the Saints take over.
Brian, what you got?
I think it's a wire-to-wire win for the Saints. I'm going to go up a little bit from where I was. I'm going to go 41-24 Saints, and I think what happens is I think the Eagles try to overplay themselves and overplay their hand, and I think the Saints take advantage of that wire-to-wire win. I think the Saints end Nick Foles' magic.
I've been going back and forth on this, but I think the Saints, I'm kind of with you. I think it's going to be one of those wire-to-wire jobs. They're going to get out early. It's going to be close. I could see this being a touchdown into the fourth quarter, but the Saints score late to push it over the spread and end up covering by 14. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go 38-24. I'm right in the neighborhood with you. Yeah. All right, who we're playing next week since we all got the Saints winning? Who do we get out of the Rams and the Cowboys?
You know, I'm going to go Dallas. Maybe it's a little bit really? Of me that wants the revenge factor, but I think the Rams aren't going to have a true home field advantage. I think Dallas has a knack for that nasty defense, and the Rams just seem a little bit overrated. Just a little bit overrated. Maybe they're not the dream team they thought they were.
I'm going with Brian, too. I think the Dallas Cowboys are going to win this game handily.
I disagree.
Rams?
I'm going with the Rams, and let's all pray for 5-6 in the AFC. We want to see San Diego hosting the Indianapolis Colts in the soccer stadium with only 35,000 people. Roger Goodell's worst nightmare.
That'd be nice.
That's going to do it for us here on the Sports Hangover. Matt Moscona's next on AFR. Don't go anywhere. For Brian, Jordan, Gus Cattingill, I'm Jay Hardgrave. Thanks for joining us on the Sports Hangover. Go Saints. Who dat?
Who dat? Who dat?